This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello, everyone. My name is Andrew Lowry, and I'm a content manager here at Legal & General's Asset Management Division. This week, for another episode of our In Conversation With series, I'm joined by Natasha Mora, who is our Managing Director in Asia. Natasha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Andrew.
First of all, let's talk a little bit about your background. You trained as a lawyer, is that correct?
I did indeed, but please don't hold that against me. I studied law and political science, actually in New Zealand, and I'd wanted to really do something with foreign affairs, and whether that was the travel or the prospect of getting to be posted to some wonderful places around the world, that was the motivation, I can't quite recall. And I joined a law firm after graduation as a bit of a stepping stone to that, and for better or worse, never quite ended up leaving the law. And so bit of an unusual journey, I guess, into asset management to have started there. It was very common, and actually still is, for young Kiwis, as I was at that point in time, to travel abroad and spend a bit of time working overseas for a couple of years. And my plan in 2000 was to spend a couple of years in the UK and then come back, and didn't quite end up happening that way, and ended up being in the UK for over 15 years. And that's when I joined L&G.
Well, the legal world's loss is Legal & General's gain. And you obviously run our business across Asia. And I'm just curious if you could give us a little insight into what that involves in day-to-day. Like, what would be a typical day in your life?
So it's really, I divide my time between three core things day-to-day. It's on the road meeting clients, partners, and other stakeholders we work with across the region. It's spending time with the team. One of my most important priorities for our business is our people, and to work with the teams of fantastic local experts that we have in our different offices in the region to on delivery of our business plans, and in particular our growth strategy. And then I spend a lot of time speaking with internal stakeholders across our other offices, London and Chicago. Obviously had pleasure of talking with you today, because the global teams are incredibly important for our business, because they're crucial in helping us, you know, to work with our clients and deliver on the ambitions that we have for the region.
I know we're obviously well established in Europe, but we're relative newcomers in Asia. Can you tell us what you've learned as you've got us off the ground in the region?
Funnily enough, we're actually not that new a manager in Asia. And we've been managing money for clients here since 2012. So what's that? Over 12 years now. And Asia AUM, including Japan, is almost $200 billion. And we're continuing to grow quite fast year on year. And we've got clients across 9-10 countries in the region, which has really given us this amazing foundation for growth. The opportunity set in the region is just so immense. And it's, I think by last calculations, about a quarter of global AUM is represented by the region, and it's growing at twice the rate of some of the other major geographies. So it's a really important market for a global manager like Legal & General to participate in. And from the other side of the equation, we're a long-term organization. I think we're 188 years old this year, and fully plan on being here in 188 years' time serving our clients. And so we bring this long-term perspective to how we think about growth in the region, to become a great partner to clients, a fantastic employer for the amazing talent in the markets where we have an office. And in terms of what I've kind of learned as we've been getting off the ground here is just being really disciplined on where to focus, because we've got this amazing opportunity set. And I guess on the other side of the coin, perhaps where not to focus, to be really thoughtful about our right to win and where we have relevant capabilities and when we see an identified need for our clients. And that's how we're approaching our growth strategy. I think the other big thing I talked about it just before was people. We've got this amazing team that we've built and continue to build across the region, especially in the last couple of years with opening of our office in Singapore to join our other offices. I'm just so impressed by the talent in the region, the energy, the passion of the people who've chosen to become part of our teams. And they've brought such strong experience and connectivity, both with our clients and then other stakeholders across the ecosystem here. They're just such an amazing asset that we have.
Where are we in our growth journey in Asia? Can you tell us a little bit about the direction of travel there?
We've got really ambitious plans for our business in the region. It is obviously a changing and very complex world for investors to navigate. And our role is really here, and this applies globally, equally applicable for us in Asia as to how we're growing our business, is to sit alongside our clients and to help them understand those factors and how we would thinking about them from an investor perspective, to understand the interconnectedness of the many factors, whether it's inflation, interest rates, geopolitics, and how to think about management of risk, equally to capture opportunities and then to navigate some of the market vulnerabilities. And the way we're growing our business is really about bringing L&G's kind of fantastic expertise across public and private markets to our clients in the region and our thought leadership, and it's particularly around thinking about joining up objectives of our clients with, you know, our capabilities, and that thinking about things as a solutions mindset. So lots of our clients have different investment objectives, whether it's return enhancement, whether it's income, whether it's looking to diversify, whether it's inflation protection, whether it's solvency capital or accounting standards or ESG requirements. And our approach is really to take these different objectives, their constraints, their problem statements, and their different contexts, and become their partner, understand what they're looking for, and work with them to tailor the solution. And our growth journey in Asia is really anchored on partnerships with our clients across the spectrum.
And Asia as a market obviously has its own characteristics, and there's enormous diversity within Asia. What distinguishes the region from Western markets? So what does it take to be successful in Asia?
So it's interesting when we talk about Asia with a single word, because of course, as you've alluded to, it is really a multitude of markets, different cultures, and all of these countries are at really different stages of development. In terms of how I would characterize it, I'm not necessarily saying distinguish it from the UK, the US or Europe. It's got this immense feeling of energy and optimism, and it's so dynamic. And it is, you need something to think about your different success factors depending on which market and which client segment you're thinking about within those markets. I would say, as a relatively new manager, as we talked about, not entirely new, but relatively new, getting to be known by our target client segments has been one of the things that, you know, we've been really focused on in order to build for success, getting them to know who we are, what we stand for as an organization, what makes us good at what we do, where are our core capabilities. So we can then have the right the conversations with them that I talked about earlier about, you know, they trust us as to become their partner for their investment needs.
Now, we have offices in Hong Kong, Singapore, Beijing and Tokyo. Can you tell us a little bit more about each office and how they interact with each other?
Yeah, sure. So the offices are a bit smaller relative to some of the larger offices in other locations, particularly in the UK, Europe and in the US. Across the offices, we have investment teams, whether that's portfolio management, research, trading, investment strategy as well. We have our client teams. So we have teams focused on institutional asset owners in North Asian markets and in Southeast Asian markets. And we've got a team covering the main wealth hubs across of Hong Kong and Singapore, focused on, you know, investors and coming through private banks to access their investment needs. We also have a number of kind of enabling and support functions, whether it's operations, the usual kind of risk and compliance. So we've got the full spectrum across the different offices. And really the teams work together, both amongst themselves and then with the other hubs in UK, Europe and the US, to deliver on all of the needs of the clients in the region itself. But also we have a really important role to play as part of the global investments platform for the firm, which is essentially the 24/7 follow the sun model that deliver for our clients worldwide. So we've got the dual roles across the offices, and collaboration is just super critical for us as a business, and the offices work hand in glove together. We've got people traveling back and forth constantly, as you probably expect, and connectivity just being so important to be successful as a business.
How do clients in Asia see ESG? Is it seen as different to how clients would see it in the US or UK or Europe?
So not really at its essence. I think like clients elsewhere, Asian investors think about investing responsibly and thinking about the issues that matter for society. I think similar to how we think about it at L&G, clients in Asia see a link between investment outcomes and sustainable investment practice, and increasingly seeing how sustainability factors are financially material and impact their financial outcomes. Certainly, our clients in Asia, for the most part, expect us as their manager and their partner to integrate sustainability considerations in the investment solutions that we deliver for them. It's just that many investors, and depending on market, may be at different stages of the journey. So some investors in the region will have net zero targets. Some will not yet be there. Some will have net zero targets, but they may be at a slightly different stage in terms of where they're at in implementing those targets within their investment portfolios. Some may be similar to where a number of investors in Europe are, and they're ready and they're implementing an approach within their portfolios around the net zero transition. Others may still be researching the issue and thinking about, you know, what is the right pathway for them to take. Certainly, one of the top issues, as you probably expect, in the region is climate and the transition, the energy transition in particular, because Asia accounts for, I think, just over 50% of global greenhouse emissions. And it's many of the economies here are still developing. And so access to affordable and resilient power is crucial for that economic growth. And so the energy transition and a just transition in that context is a really important consideration. At the same time, obviously, a number of countries in Asia are some of the most vulnerable to unchecked emissions growth. So there's a lot of interesting conversations going on amongst both asset owners and different kinds of client types, and also regulators and different government bodies around climate in particular. It's a really key focus if I had to call out any particular topic within the ESG landscape.
And you're based in Melbourne. How are you finding it being based there? I'm talking from London, a very grey, overcast and gloomy London, and it sounds pretty attractive at the moment.
So I have to say I'm very lucky to be living in this beautiful place. I landed here about 6 years ago from London to be closer to family. And I love London and I miss it a lot, but I also do not miss the grey and rainy day that you're sitting in at the moment. It is a fantastic place to bring up a family, and the outdoors lifestyle in particular is really wonderful. It's a little on the too warm side at the moment and having a little mini heat wave at the moment, but given it's about 30 degrees above where you are, I'm not going to complain. Though I do miss the winter, as we're sitting here in December. I do miss the idea of the winter Christmas of the UK and maybe the prospect of snow.
Honestly, you're not missing much. And finally, I mean, you must have really racked up the air miles. Do you have a favourite place to visit in Asia?
Oh, it would be so hard to call out a single place. There's just so many incredible cities and different places in the region. So I love the vibe and energy of Hong Kong. And when I travel to the mainland, just the warmth of the people that I meet there really stands out. And Singapore is really about the food and the buzz. They go out so much. It's exhausting sometimes. I eat too much. And then I was lucky enough to holiday in Vietnam last year, and just such a beautiful, vibrant place. So it feels so young and energetic. But ultimately, my heart really belongs in Aotearoa or New Zealand, the land of the long white cloud. It's just so beautiful. And even though I haven't lived there for 25 years, every time I land back there, I really do feel like I've come home.
That's a lovely note to end on. Natasha, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of Legal & General Investment Management Limited, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for information purposes only, and we are not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general economic, market or political issues and/or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not an offer or recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against Legal & General in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this document contains third-party information, the accuracy and completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person resident in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulation. Copyright 2024. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. In Hong Kong, this material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.